Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. In your Schofield Bible, page 1017. Beginning with the 47th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 52. The 52nd verse is the text verse for tonight's message. Once more, Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 through 52, and in your Schofield Bible, page 1017. Let's stand, as is our custom to do here at First Baptist Church. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So it shall it be at the end of the world, and the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And let's pray. Father, we've become aware through the news media that there's a large gathering of people in Chicago for the Democratic Convention. I suppose in some ways that meeting holds something of importance for this country. But never was any meeting any more important than the meeting that we share tonight here in this place. We're here at thy bidding. We're here to hear from thee and to know something again from thy word that will be helpful and practical and useful in our lives. Thank you for giving a man of God to us who walks with thee, who can give to us that which we need, that for which we should hunger and thirst. Satisfy our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, which new is right? Which new is right? I'm going to read without you turning to it, my text. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, bringeth forth his treasure, out of his treasure, things new and old. Things new and old. I want to speak on the subject, which new is right. You've got to logic with me tonight. It'll not be a lengthy message, but it'll be a message that'll require your mind to follow me very carefully and logic with me. We have in America, in every segment of society, in every organization, we have what we call liberals and conservatives. The conservatives normally are for the old, and the liberals normally are for the new. For example, we have the Republican convention, San Diego, a few days ago. Historically, I'm afraid not much now, but historically, Republicans were very conservative. Mr. Dole, probably, in my opinion, is the least conservative Republican that's run for president in a long time. And the Democratic Convention, by the way, I since it's here, I'm wondering, is Hillary here tonight? I was expecting her here. I guess she could not make it. In every organization, you have the conservatives and the liberals, the conservatives tending to stand for that which that organization has always stood for, and the conservatives tending to go, the liberals tending to go more from the foundation of the, and the tenets of that organization. So follow me as I speak tonight on the subject, which new is right. Our Heavenly Father, I believe tonight I can set some people's minds at ease. I believe some who have misunderstood can understand as I speak tonight. I believe that if the liberals would listen to this logic tonight, they'd at least understand fundamentalists and fundamentalism, and some of them would change. I pray you help me as I speak, give me clarity of mind, and those who listen, a willingness to listen carefully. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, logic with me tonight. The Jews were particularly tenacious of tradition. They held the Pharisees and the Jews in general, and the Pharisees were the big sect of the Jews, were very, very tenacious of tradition. On the other hand, the Athenians were always wanting to hear or tell something new. To them, novelty was excellent, and anything familiar must be discarded simply because it is familiar. Now we have the same groups today. Those who say that excellence is preserving the old, and others who say that excellence is discovering the new. Now the question comes, who's right? I'd like to say that I think both are right. You can call me Bill Clinton. I'm sure you heard that they're putting two new faces on Mount Rushmore, Bill Clinton. But I happen to think, seriously, that both are right. You see, we have conservative versus liberal. And then we have fundamentalists in our Christian circles versus the what we call the new evangelicals, or in some cases just the evangelicals, if you please. Now, something new has come. Now, the question tonight is just what is this new thing that has come? I'm not against somebody saying that there are new things that have come. I am tonight very careful and diligent to try to seek what these new things are. I believe in the old. I believe in the old fashioned. I believe in the old landmarks. I believe in the old foundation. Likewise, I do believe that in Christianity some new things have likewise come in. Now then, how can we determine what new is right? Listen to that statement again, that question again. How can we determine what new is right? There are those who come along and say, with new doctrine, that say that the blood of Christ is not necessary to be sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven, but that it probably is at the foot of the cross still. That's something new. There are those who come out with what they call this cell block Christianity. I think it's called cell block. Anyway, They're not having Sunday night services anymore in many of the churches. They had different little groups are meeting in their own location. And the same thing is true about Wednesday night. Southern Baptists have come out with some unbelievable new things. Now, how can we... Are we always against the new? Was it Alexander Pope who said, not the first by whom the new is tried, nor yet the last to cast the old aside? There are new things in Christianity. But how can we determine what they are and which ones are right? Listen carefully. I'll give you the answer. The new, if it is of God, is always deeper and stricter than the old. You find somebody that has less convictions than the old, that's not of God. You can find somebody that substitutes lifestyle evangelism or old-fashioned soul winning, that's not of God. You find somebody finds new places to go soul winning, that is of God. When you become stronger in soul winning and give new ideas about soul winning, that is of God. But when you substitute something for soul winning, that is not of God. So the way you tell whether something new is of God or not is whether or not it is stricter and deeper than the old was. Now follow my logic as I continue talking. Illustration. The old says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5. The old says, thou shalt not, it hath been said unto you, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Now, concerning adultery, there have been some changes. There is a new morality that's come along, and there's permissive society that's come along, and situation ethics that have come along, and that's new. Now, is that of God? No, it's not of God, because it's not as strict as the old. Anything that's new, if it's of God, must be stricter than the old, because we have more revelation than we had before. On the other hand, Jesus said, here is the new. The old is, thou shalt not commit adultery. But the new is, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. You see what I'm trying to say? The new is always. Now, I'm going to hang you after a while, so I'm going to give you plenty of rope. I want you to get me now. I want you to get me. In the Bible, anything new that came along was always stricter or deeper than the old. So the old said, thou shalt not commit adultery. The new was stricter than that, and said, you're not supposed to look at a woman to lust after in your heart. Illustration. The old said, thou shalt not kill. Jesus said, hath been said unto you, thou shalt not kill. Now something new came along. And the new said, he who is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. You see what I'm trying to say? Now the old said, you're not supposed to kill. But the new comes along and is stricter than that and says you're not supposed to get mad or angry at your brother. Now, if somebody comes along, it's okay. You can kill a baby in the womb. That's something new. But that is not as strict as the old. So that's not of God. Abortion is not of God. Well, I wish Mr. Doe would just come out and say what he believes about abortion. He believes like you believe, but he's scared to say it. Because he won't get elected president. Not going to get elected anyhow, but I'd rather be right than president. I'd rather speak my piece and speak what I believe than push the foot and compromise. Mr. Dole, say what you believe about nicotine. Say what you believe about cigarettes. Say what you believe about abortion. Say what you believe about gun control. Just come out and say it. So that means that abortion is wrong because abortion is not as strict as the old one. But if the new says also that you're not supposed to be angry with your brother. So that's of God. Because that which is new must be stricter than that which was old, if in fact it is of God. Let's go on further. The old said, love thy neighbor. That's the old. Now Jesus comes along in Matthew chapter 5 and gives us the new, and he says, love thy enemy also. So that's of God, you see. Because it is stricter. Let me say it again. I'm not opposed to new if the new is stricter than the old because of added revelation. Illustration. In the old said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What does that mean? Fellow plucks your eye out, pluck his out. Fellow knocks your tooth out, knock his out. That's what the old said. But the new said, if a fellow smites you on the right cheek, turn the left cheek. Now that's stricter than the old. I'm not opposed, ladies and gentlemen, to that which is new, as long as that which is new is added revelation, or let me change that. It has more depth and is stricter because we know more and therefore have become more responsible. Somebody asked tonight, the question and answer time. They said, Brother Hiles, why was it okay in the Old Testament for men to have more than one wife, and not okay now? It was not okay in the Old Testament. But they didn't have Romans chapter 7. They didn't have 1 Corinthians chapter 7. They didn't have Matthew chapter 7. In fact, in the days of the patriarchs, they didn't have any Bible at all. And so the times of ignorance, God winked at, but these are not the times of ignorance. You've got the whole Bible there in your hand right now. So you're more responsible. I said tonight, answering that question, hey, a young lady that listens to, or a young person listening to rock music that goes to the Catholic church across the street, that's wrong. But it is more wrong for a young person goes to First Baptist listening to rock music. That place is closed over there tonight, thank God. But it's closed tonight. Nobody preached a hot sermon on rock music over there today. Nobody got up and told the young people how they ought to live. And those poor kids over there don't know any better. But you know better. So as men know better, they become more responsible and new comes, but the new is always stricter than the old. Illustration. The old said, man asked you to go a mile. Go a mile. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if a man asks you to go a mile under the new, go with him 2 miles. Ask a question. Which is stricter, 2 miles or 1 mile? It's stricter to go 2 miles. Now, again, I'm going to hang you in a minute, so listen to me carefully. I want you to be able to know where the rope is. I'm trying to lay the foundation for the fact that the new is all right if the new is, in fact, stricter than the old. Jesus said, it has been said, no adultery, but I say, no lust. It has been said, no murder, but I say, no hatred. It has been said, go a mile. Jesus said, I say, go two. He introduced something new because the people had more revelation than they had previously known. And so now then, there's something new that comes, and it is stricter. Illustration. The old said, if a man goes to court with you, get your coat, let him have your coat. The new said, if a man goes to court with you, get your coat, let him have your cloak also. Illustrate that. Fella wants your overcoat, give him your suit coat. If fella wants your suit coat, give him your overcoat. That's the new. Now, I want you to notice that every case, the new was stricter than the old. The new was more requiring than the old. The new was deeper than the old. So, with the house, are you against the new? No, I'm not against the new, but I'm against this new that waters it down. I'm for the new that makes it deeper. I'm for the new that makes it stronger. So the old said, no murder. I am likewise against hatred. Anger with your brother without a cause. The old said, no adultery. I likewise am against lusting after woman in your heart or mind. The old said, for example, Jesus came, I get this, Jesus came to fulfill the law, Matthew 5:17. I am not come to destroy it. Now follow me carefully. Those who come along with the new that is less say that Jesus destroyed the law. But we say Jesus did come with something new, but he fulfilled the law. What does that mean? That means the old didn't fill the cup all the way up. And the new is filling the cup to the brim. So the new is more, hear me carefully, the new is more of the same. Nothing new. It's more of the same. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 1:9, there's nothing new under the sun. Anything that's new is something that is of the same. But Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fill the law full. That's adding more, if you please. Illustration. Whosoever shall put away his wife, Jesus said, let him give her a writing of divorcement. That's the old. But he said the new is, whosoever putteth away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, commits adultery and causes her to commit adultery. So what am I saying? The old says you shouldn't leave your wife without a divorce. The new says you shouldn't leave your wife unless you're guilty. She's guilty, gives you fornication. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that this new brand of watered down, soft soaping, easier Christianity is not of God. I'm saying this charismatic Christianity, where you dress like a whore and sing like Hollywood whores or sing like a bunch of nightclubs, that's not of God, because that's less than the old. The new is not acceptable unless it is stricter and deeper than the old. So, this is my statement. Hear carefully. The new... that is of God, is not a substitution, but an addition. God did not come along to give you something in the place of the law. God came to add something to the law. Now, God came along to the law was not given, as far as salvation is concerned, to be kept. It was given so we couldn't keep it, to help us come to Christ. But God is still against adultery, and God is still against murder, and God is still against stealing, and God is still against cursing. But anything that's new is not a substitution. If it substitutes for the old, it is of the devil. If it adds to the old, it's of God. Why? We have more light, like I said a while ago. Acts chapter 17, verse 34 says, the times of ignorance of God reached. That means that a while ago. David had more wives than one. Solomon had more than one wife, but Solomon did not have the New Testament. Solomon didn't have the Proverbs. He wrote some. He didn't have the Psalms yet. He had just a portion of the Bible. So I want to say, that's why Jesus said he'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for Bethsaida and Chorazin. This all is because Bethsaida and Chorazin saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They heard what he said. And they had the Old Testament writ of our Old Testament Bible. And they're more responsible than Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen carefully. The queers of 1996 are more answerable to God Almighty than the queers of Sodom and Gomorrah. The queers of Sodom and Gomorrah did not have what I'm going to read you right now, but every queer tonight has it. For this cause, Romans 1:26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Now what are these vile affections? Here they are. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. Lesbians, if you please. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men lusting for each other. And goes on to say, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. Let me just be very frank with you. He's talking about women having sex with women and men having sex with men. And brothers, and San Francisco and every queer in America is far more accountable to God Almighty than the folks of Sodom and Gomorrah were. And God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah and left nothing there in the city but a bunch of remains and a bunch of dead people destroyed by fire and brimstone. If God hated it then, you imagine how much more God hates it because they have the warnings of the Bible against their fill. I was on the airplane the other day and I was talking to a queer. I moved over away from him. I don't want anybody, any male tingling when he gets close to me. He said, well, it's just a lifestyle. He said, it's just natural for some of us. I said, it's natural. Why don't hens get enamored with hens? You ever go in the barnyard and see a hen chasing a hen? Why don't roosters fall in love with roosters? Did you ever see a heifer and a heifer smooching? Yeah, I've seen them. Female heifers, human heifers. You ever see a bull chasing a bull across the barnyard? Show me a homosexual hen. Show me a queer bull. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a lifestyle. It is caused by a wicked nation, a perverse nation that turned its back upon God and turned its back upon that Bible. So, why is it then that it is of God? If the new is of God, it is stricter. I said simply because we have more light. Four times Jesus said those words. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you in the day of judgment. Now some statements. So the new is always stricter because it accompanies more light. Number two. The new is just more of the old if it's of God. Number three, the new is just going farther down the old road. Number four, the new if it's of God is a discovery of more old. So, when you get purer, that's new. When you get more right, that's new. When you get more just, that's new. But, brother, when you say, well, all the Old Testament's done away with, that stinking, dirty garbage out of hell, all the Old Testament is not done away with. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, he said it himself, but to fulfill the law, the glass is, here's a glass here that half empty, that's the law. And Jesus said, I did not come to empty that glass, I came to fill that glass full. Consequently, that which is of God, which is new, is stricter, deeper than that which is new or which is old. Illustration. Let's agree for a while that tithing's done away with. You're with me, aren't you? Are you willing to go back to the old now? Did he not say that if it's new, it's stricter than the old? So if tithing's been done away with, then to be of God, you got to give more than the tithe. If you go from 10% less, that's not of God. Show me in this Bible one place where God ever lessens people's responsibility with their life. Consequently, if tithing's done away with, and I'm willing to say that for a second, let's just agree that tithing's done away with, then in order for it to be of God, you've got to give more than the 10%, and that's fine with me. All right? Let's go to Deuteronomy 22:5. It's an abomination in the sight of God for a man to wear clothes like a woman, and that's for the dirty, stinking Dennis Rodman. And all you Rodman fans ought to get right with the Godman. Well, he's just a smart man. No, he's not. He's a lustful, wicked, vile, corrupt individual. And he's doing as much to corrupt the morals of Chicago youth as anybody in Chicago is. And we don't want to corrupt him. Well, it's okay. What if he can get still 14 or 15 rebounds a game? There'll be many young people that never rebound because they've been affected with that kind of garbage. When he put that dress on, went down and signed his book with that dress on, it was an abomination in the sight of God Almighty. He put that boa around his neck. I'd like to put a boa around his neck, constrictor, but he put that boa around his neck, and that's an abomination in the sight of God. He puts an earring on his ear. It's an abomination in the sight of God. He puts a necklace around his neck. It's an abomination in the sight of God. He puts a little bracelet on his arm. That's an abomination in the sight of God. The Bible says it in Deuteronomy. But it also says, if you ladies have pants, don't deny it as bad as Dennis Rodman. You're shocked to death when a man wears a wedding gown. You're shocked to death when a man wears a dress. Well, show me the difference. The same verse that says man shall not wear that which pertains to a woman isn't the same verse that woman shall not wear that pertains to a man. But for a moment, let's say it's passed away. Let's just say for a moment that Deuteronomy 25 is passed away. That's the old, it's done away with. Now, if in fact, if it's of God, it's always stricter. That means that a woman should be more careful not to wear men's clothing than she used to be. Show me in the Bible where God ever brought something new that did away with that which was strict. Show me in the Bible where God ever lessened his requirements. He ever lessened his standards. He ever lessened right or wrong. Show me in the Bible. That means if Deuteronomy 22:5 that says a woman shouldn't wear things pertaining to a man has been done away with, then she ought to be stricter than Deuteronomy 22:5 in order to be of God. Let's agree for a few moments on 1 Corinthians 11:14. It says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. A shame for a man to have long hair. Let's agree. Let's say that's okay, that's done away with. All right. Now, didn't we establish a while ago that in every case, when something new came, if it's of God, it was stricter? Remember back down about 2 days ago when I started preaching this sermon? Remember when I said that the old said you can't kill, the new said you can't hate? Without a cause? Remember back then when the old said that you shouldn't commit adultery and the new said you can't look at a woman's lust after? Remember back then when we said that the old said go a mile and the new said go 2 miles? Remember back then when the old said give him your coat and the new says give him your cloak also? Remember how these 8 different things I showed you how that to be of God something new must be stricter than the old was? All right? Then if it's true that 1 Corinthians 11:14, where it's a shame for man to have long hair, he is done away with, then every man ought to shave his head. If it's new and of God, it's stricter. Well, let's go, please, to 1 Corinthians 14:34. We've got some fun now. Charismatics, listen carefully to this. Let a woman keep silence in the churches. Let me give you what that means in the Greek. It means women shut up. Now, it says that. Now, you've got to say, if that be true, that a woman preacher is unscriptural. You've got to say it.
I got that letter several years ago. Found out yesterday who it was from. Who was it from? Somebody else. I want that one called next. But one of your relatives from another state wrote me in and said, years ago I was a younger man, said, glad younger men like you are coming on and take the place of Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Catherine Kuhlman.
Now, the Bible says a woman's supposed to keep silence in the churches. Is that right?
Nothing makes me feel worse than some woman. I'll be preaching.
Not here. Amen.
I was in church preaching, and they gave them signs. Like an old-fashioned fan. One side said, amen. The other said, praise the Lord. Every time they agreed, the women hold up those signs. Bothered the fire of me. Scriptural, but it bothered me.
Okay. Then, if in fact that scripture is done away with, if it's of God, something stricter is taking place. Is that right? So then, if we do away with that scripture, I guess we better say we'll have to have a nursery for women. Let's have a big room where you take your wife and put her while we men go to preaching. Take your wife over that big room, get a little card like that, number 44. All the men come to preaching, take care of business. When it's over, go back and get your wife. But a lot of you throw your card away. Or trade cards with somebody else. I'm trying to say, either a woman's not supposed to preach or she's supposed to go to a woman's nursery and stay there and it's all over and we go back and get her. Or she's supposed to get under the pews and hide under the pews so nobody can see her. She shouldn't even clear her throat or cough or blow her nose. I'm trying to say, if it is not true, if it has been done away with, it must be stricter than it was before. So, while we're all talking about women, let's go to Ephesians 5:22 and 5:24. Submit yourself to your husband, be in subjection to your own husband. That's in the Bible. Now, okay, let's suppose it's done away with. Now, whatever new we have must be to be of God, must be stricter. So if it says, if the new comes along and says equal rights, and nobody has equal rights, a bird doesn't have equal rights with a fish. A bird doesn't have equal rights with a cow. You never milked a bird. That's garbage. It's of the devil. But if they say equal rights, that's something new. That's not of God because that's not as strict as the old. So if we're going to come along with something that's new concerning Ephesians 5:22 and 5:24, the woman's going to have to be more reverential of her husband, and maybe Miss Howell should get up every morning and come down and bow Allah. All over America, churches saying we got something new, but it's less. Not preaching on Sunday night, that's to the devil, that's less. Not having service on Wednesday night, that's to the devil, that's less. Not having public invitations, that's to the devil, that's less. If it's of God, it's stricter and deeper. Okay, let's agree. Let's agree. When the Bible says that nudity is exposing the thigh, let's agree that's not for this. That's done away with. If, and the Bible teaches that a woman or a man here is not supposed to expose your thigh in public. Now, fellas, I want you to hear what I just said. That means that a person is not supposed to expose his thigh in public.
Well, you say, what if two guys go swimming together? There's too many guyettes around here these days. Okay? That's kind of where you are. How are we going to know what's of God if it's stricter? So, if we're going to change it, let's cover the ankle. I know a preacher preaches against nude heels. I mean, it's that woman having a shoe with a heel cut out. He preaches against nude toes. You're worried, aren't you? Nude toes. He's more right than the Knicks swimmers are. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have your toe cut out of your shoe. Some of you ladies got feet so big you can't find a shoe without cutting the toe out to the fit you. I'm not saying it's wrong to cut the toe out of your shoe. I'm saying if God has done away with not exposing the thigh, for it to be of God, it's got to be stricter. God, give us a return to old-fashioned feminine modesty again. Which means, are you against mixed women? No, not at all. Let me make the swimsuit. And there won't be a single person in that pool. I don't care whether it's your backyard or the city park. They'll be showing your side. If you could sit in my office and hear fathers talk to me about how they look at their daughters' thighs and lust after their daughters, you'd shake some sense in your head. That which makes less clothing is not of God, and if there is a change, it'll be more clothing instead of less clothing. So, let's agree that woman having long hair. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says woman supposed to have long hair. Now, what's long is opposite of short. That means you're not supposed to cut your hair like a man. Let's suppose that's done away with. Then we're going to have it where you trip over it. You have to walk down the street. I'm not opposed to a woman getting a haircut. I'm opposed to a woman having hair that looks like a man's hair. Because the hair is a symbol of the fact that a woman is in submission to a man. A couple came to our church years ago. Came from West Virginia. He was a brethren preacher. Had his wife with him. He had one of his little submission caps. You've seen them. Some of our Mennonite, more strict Mennonite people wear them. And our, what do you call those folks? Church of Brethren, Amish, they wear them. They're sitting right back there on Wednesday night. She had a little submission cap on. They came to my office after service and said, Dr. Hauser, come all the way from West Virginia, 700 miles. I want to go soul winning with you. I said, good, I'm going tomorrow. He had on a ministerial clerical vestment, like a priest. In my office, I said, sure, I'd be glad to go soul winning, but I said, sir, I can't go soul winning if you wear that. Because I preached against that. But I said, you're about my size. I've got a suit at home I can let you wear. He said, good, I'll be glad to. And she said, no, you won't. That came out of a voice that was about 6 inches under her submission cap. The woman's supposed to have not have long hair, then we're going to have to increase it to make it of God. Because in every case, see, with every generation, there is more light.
there is more revelation. I don't mean the Bible, you add to the Bible, but we know more. This generation knows more about personal soul winning than the last generation did. So it's a bigger sin not to go soul winning now than it was 50 years ago. This generation knows more about old-fashioned preaching than they did 50 years ago, and consequently it's a bigger sin not to be an old-fashioned preacher than 50 years ago. Consequently, in every case, if the new comes and the new just come and has come, to find out if that new is of God or not, all you got to do is decide, is it shallower or deeper, more lenient or more strict? I expect after this sermon, most of you are going to be glad to settle with what you got. As far as I'm concerned, I'll just take it as God says it. Believe what God says. And whatever new that's come, I'll accept that, knowing it's of God only if it's in excess of the old. And I will refuse to have anything to do with this modern evangelical movement that places drama in the place of preaching, that places movies in the place of preaching, cantatas in the place of preaching, closes out church on Sunday night. A fellow wants to have church on four nights a week, that's okay with me because that's more. But he wants to have church less, then that's of the devil. How about you? How about you? The old is set. Never changes. You may add to it. Just like if you build a foundation, and then if you decide to build the house, you don't tear the foundation down and build the house. You build the house on the foundation. And the old is the foundation. The new must be a part of the house, and it must increase the availability of room for people in which people live. And likewise it is with the blessed book. The old, in some cases, is no longer valid unless it, on the other hand, if it is no longer valid, more of the same has come because Jesus came to fulfill, that is to fill full, the law and not to destroy the law. I hope you, some of you folks have been wondering about convictions. I hope you see it now. I hope some of you people wonder why Brother Howells mentioned the Willow Creek Church this morning. I hope you understand now why. Hope you understand now why I take a poke at John MacArthur every once in a while. Hope you understand why I'm not for the charismatics, because the charismatics have taken away and not replaced it with more. When I was a young preacher, the most modest women in America were the charismatic women. Now then, you can't tell them I'm a Hollywood whore. I'm talking about those, the preacher's wives especially. I'm trying to say tonight, as far as I'm concerned and this church is concerned, we will stick with the old. And if we add to it, it'll be just more of the old. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message to the people's hearts and their minds, the logic of it all. Help our people to understand a little more what it's all about. Amen. Shall we stand?